So item 3 is a rezoning at 11 Moore Avenue under file DAZ-222 of 2014. Oh, sorry, the variance. Did you also want to adjourn the variance? Yes. Sorry, that was the same thing. So
we just understood it that way.
Do the same motion.
So we'll have a motion then from Councilor Lukes to similarly close the public representations on item number 2, and similarly to adjourn the matter to the next Rio Community Committee meeting December the 1st.
At 5 o'clock in the council chambers.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. All those in favor? Contrary, that's carried.
Okay. Sorry. Item 3 is a rezoning at 11 Moore Avenue under file DAZ-222 of 2014. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following items will also be heard at the same time. Namely, item 4 is a conditional use at 11 Moore Avenue under file DCU-135285 of 2014D. And item 5 is a variance at 11 Moore Avenue under file DAV-140971 of 2014D.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. So we have two folks here in favor, in support of the application, John Wintrup and Jeff Milnes, who I'm assuming are both here with us. So you have 10 minutes to address the committee, and are we on all three at the same time here, Madam Clerk? The rezoning, the conditional use, and the variance?
Yes.
All right, so we're consolidating all those three on 11 Moore, and if you can just, by beginning, state your name and addresses, and then speak to the committee.
Yes. John Winchup, 301-139, Roslyn Road, Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Jeff Milnes, 107 Wallingford Crescent, Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Thank you. We appreciate being here in front of the Rail Community Committee at their first public hearing for this new council for the next 4 years. Congratulations on your recent elections, and look forward to some wise decision-making over the next 4 years. We'll try to keep it short, our presentation. I do understand we have 10 minutes, but there are people here in opposition that we want to hear as well, and we do understand we have a chance to come back and rebut. We greatly appreciate the public service. The planner, Rob Kostick, has written a really good report tonight for all three applications. No flags in terms of the rezoning. We understand, as one of the conditions of the rezoning is lane widening that Public Works is insisting on. We have no issue or concerns about that. So we do support the public service's recommendation on the rezoning. With the condition that plan approval, which is the future design of the building, would have to come back to this community committee before a building permit is issued. That's a standard clause in all types of these types of applications. We're required, as part of the public process here, the planning department requires that, and they just made this a requirement back in July of this year, that we supply comprehensive site plans and building designs. So we've done that, but we're not sold on any building or design. We look forward to hearing what some comments from either the community committee, the ward councillor, as well as members of the audience who might be speaking either for or against this application. We hope to incorporate some design features that we hear tonight into the new building. So we're not sold on any particular design. It's a requirement for us to submit that to just get this scheduled at a public hearing, and that's a recent requirement this past July to do that. So we're fine with the rezoning. It's in the conditional use and the variance. I believe the planning department is recommending only 6 units instead of the application that we filed for 7. Their concerns, I do believe, are relating to, and the planner can correct me if I'm wrong, related to the site servicing, notably for the garbage and recycling. The proposed density is higher than neighboring multifamily properties on St. Mary's Road, and the lane widening will reduce the width of the property. First, regarding garbage and recycling containers, we feel that's very important. We'd like to have our garbage and recycling removed from the site as well. This site has optimal frontage. We have a street. a side back lane as well as a rear back lane. We can figure out where to put the garbage cans. We'll work closely with Water and Waste or with our service provider to make sure the trash and recyclables can be stored on the property in a safe, sufficient, effective manner, and then removed in a safe, sufficient, and effective manner. In terms of surrounding land uses, the planner in his report does quote that there are directly across the street from us is at 10 more is an apartment building with similar amount of density, if not higher than what we're proposing. Directly to the east is a commercial property that I should add has no frontage or side yard against Moore Avenue. So there is higher density or as similar density to us in the neighborhood directly across the street from us. That's an existing land use. So we feel we're compatible with the area in terms of density. The lane widening, once again, we have no issue for it, but if you're going to take land from us for the widening of the lane and use that for a reason for not supporting the 7 units, then we would not want to give up the land for the lane widening. But preferably, we like to have our 7 units, and we like to give the land to the City of Winnipeg for the lane widening. So we hope that doesn't affect our application. In terms of the variances, the planning department is prepared to support the substandard amount of parking. That makes sense. It's a walkable community. There's a number of bus traveling up and down St. Mary's, commercial nearby. We're going to be providing cycling within our development outside as well as inside the building to encourage alternative transportation. For the variances, a couple of them are for lot area. Once again, that's related to having 7 units instead of 6 units. So we're looking for support for that. A front yard of 15 feet instead of 21 feet. The planner is not supporting that. The way the front yard is calculated is called an alignment. The planning department looks at all the front yards along the north side of Moore Avenue, takes the average. If you look at some of the front yards in your air photograph, some of them are further back than 15 feet, some of them are closer than 15 feet. The one adjacent to us, the first couple addresses next door, are, I would believe it looks closer than 15 feet to the front yard. It's the house further back at, I believe, 23 and 19 are further back than 15 feet by quite a bit. That's what creates the average. And if you look to the parcel directly to the east at 1004 St. Mary's, they have zero front yard along Moore Avenue. So we're actually providing some green space in front of us of substantially more than what's directly to the east of us. So it makes, if you were to draw a line between the building on St. Mary's and then us and then to the properties next door, you can see it's adding more front yard. So we're providing at least a front yard more so than on Moore Avenue. The length of parking stalls off a rear public lane, we're asking for 20 feet instead of 23 feet. The requirement for 23 feet came in after or about the same time we were making this application. That was something that went to a public hearing and then went to council, and it became effective in July. We were submitting our application at the exact same time. We were aware of it, but we did not know when it was going to take into force and effect. Originally, our application, we were trying to get to a public hearing in September. It ended up coming to this public hearing and meeting. We'll try to make 23 feet fit, but the standard parking stall for up to this past July, I think the effective date was July 15th, was 20 feet long parking stall. That's how we started working on this project back in June, prior to the zoning bylaw changing. We could try to make 23 feet fit onto the property, and we'd go back. Once again, we're not set on the design site plan that we submitted to the City of Winnipeg. It's a requirement that was made of us in July to get to the public hearing. We're pretty flexible in terms of the design of the building, trying to accommodate parking as well as garbage containers, having landscaping in the front yard as well as on the side to buffer against our neighbors, etc. But we're hoping to hear some comments from the local residents who are here tonight, as well as from the community committee on this matter. We're open to any questions if you have any.
Your comment about cycling was a little unclear to me. Can you just clarify that?
Yes. We're pretty much all the projects I've ever been on involved for multifamily has either included indoor bicycle parking for the residents as well as outside bicycle parking for lockup for either visitors or for short-term. Short-term cycling is okay to park outside, but long-term, if you're a resident or if you're going to store your bike for more than 8 hours, you really need indoor parking. My client here has actually done a few buildings in Osborne Village with bike rooms, et cetera, and so he's very well into providing alternative transportation such as cycling, scooters, et cetera. So.
Mr. Mills, are you the owner, Mr. Mills, or are you the...
Yes.
He's the developer.
Yeah.
Okay. And just so we're clear, the same question that I'd asked earlier, so you've read the reports, your issue, I think you've highlighted your issues with the reports, so you're still wanting seven units as
yes.
opposed to six
and
units.
Just the issues or the matter is really under the conditional use, a little bit with the variance is that if we get seven, it would affect one of the variances. But the rezoning, we're in full agreement with the public service on that report.
Okay. Thank you. So,
we'll come back for
the
previous, rebuttal.
You'll have the right to to speak in rebuttal.
Thank you.
Any further speakers in support, or anyone else registered in support? Seeing none, we'll turn then to those registered in opposition. To the application, we have two speakers. Mr. Harold Rivard is first registered speaker. You can either address the committee or simply register your opposition.
Thank you. For
two individuals here. So you're Mr. Rivard?
Yes, we're both. He's from.
We came together.
Okay. We're both different addresses.
Okay.
Anyways, thank you for letting us speak. And I'm from 23 Moore. My name is Harold Rivard.
And you're.
My name is Shannon Penner.
Oh, okay.
17 Moore.
Okay.
Okay, we don't want our area as an SR1 as an apartment complex. And they're mentioning 10 Moore Avenue is a women's shelter. I don't want the women's shelter jeopardized by having another apartment in the front there. They've been had a lot of incidents that have happened in this area. Also, right next door to me, there used to be a double lot. They tore it down, put two Habitat for Humanity homes, which 10 kids moved in now.
So I couldn't make that out too much.
10 kids moved in, 7 in one house and 3 in the other.
Okay,
so we're concerned. There's no park in the area. The kids are always on the street. I'm worried about the women's shelter being across the street. It is a women's shelter, and they're supposed to be protected. That property is pretty small to have a three-story apartment block on there. And that whole area has been redeveloped every year. The house that they're living in today, that this house is being redeveloped, has been lifted. It's been redone completely. The house was lifted, refurbished, everything. So there's no need to tear that house down for an apartment. And the front streets on St. Mary's businesses, they have no parking at all.
We don't want any more population density in that area. We have enough.
And it just sounds, it's not safe for the kids. So, I mean, I could see another house being put up there. And if, also, they were mentioning family unit. How do you move a family unit into 760 square feet? What kind of space are the kids going to have in there? It's going to be couples. It's not going to be family.
We also have a problem with cars ripping down the street, cutting across from St. Mary's to Dunkirk during traffic or rush hour. It's a real problem. I've actually made a request to have a children playing sign put up. I think it's in the works. They're looking at doing a study on that. So
basically, it's all I have to say. It's I don't want my area. I've been there for 31 years, and I've seen a lot happening around there. And to me, it's not right because you've moved in. Since I've been there, there's been a total of seven new houses within less than a quarter block. They were all double lots. I'm the only one with a double lot left. So, I mean, if it comes to a point of an apartment, I might as well do the same and just move out of there and put up another three-story apartment there. I've lost my green space where I'm living as it is, and now it's just like it's there's nothing left as it is with the kids being in the area. It's not safe for them.
I'm sorry, what number are you at?
I'm at 23.
At 23, okay.
I have a double lot, the only double lot left. So, and I like my green space. I'm never going to develop that lot. But if there is going to be, like I said, if there's going to be another three-story, I might as well get out of there. I mean, what's the sense of staying there?
With that lane widening, too, though, I'm sure there's three or four mature trees allowed to be cut down. Those are really beautiful trees. You see them as you turn onto the street. It's going to totally change the look of the street when you pull on off of St. Mary's.
So, I mean, your issue is not just the height, though. I just want to be clear on this, because the height is, you've probably heard other people saying, is you can
well, the height is, the height is going to be an eyesore as well, because as soon as you come onto Moore now, you're going to see a three-story. All the houses are out. And he was also stipulating that some houses are further than the other. Mine is one of the furthest houses out. It's only 5 feet from the sidewalk, but it was built in 1922. And my house has been completely refurbished. It's all been redone.
But I just want to be clear, and Mr. Kostyuk will correct me if I'm wrong, though. I mean, in this area, as in other areas, the owner could put up a 35-foot house. You've got this on Parkville, for example, where it never came to us, never came to the committee. Somebody just went in and played by the rules and put up a house that's 35 feet tall. The surrounding properties are very typical of that neighborhood, you know, 1962-era bungalows. It's a larger policy issue, but the rules that these folks are playing by is your point, though, and I appreciate the point you're trying to make, though, is it's not just the height, it's the density you're saying.
Well, and how many variances are we talking here that have to be made? And now, the situation you're proposing would require no variances, I imagine.
Yes.
I mentioned the apartment again. I mean, are you not concerned about the safety of the women that are living in there?
No, you got I'm not arguing with any of the points
you're making. Because you could have 16 sets of eyes.
I just want to be clear on the height issue. I understand it's a concern.
Well, the height issue is not right.
To some extent, our hands are tied by what the rules are in terms of 35 feet.
Right.
Okay. Any further questions? The back lane, it's all gravel here, right? Gravel lane on the north, gravel lane on the
and
east.
And that's the back lane that we're living on. It's just atrocious. It's like full of holes and lumps, and there's just like when it rains, you got a puddles back there that are 2-3 feet deep.
Well, Councillor Allard and I is getting up to speed the gravel back lane issue, which, yeah.
Well, especially when you put those two Habitat for Humanity homes, that hole has gotten so deep now, it's just ridiculous, and nobody's done anything to fix it. Other than a proposal to do asphalt.
Fair enough. Okay, so if there are no further questions, thank you for the presentation. We've got no one else registered in opposition. Anyone else here in opposition or here for information? Seeing none, we'll turn back then to the applicants who are able to speak in rebuttal to some of the points that have been raised.
Well, first, we'd like to thank the neighbors who came out tonight and expressed couple of points. I'll address a few, and my client will gladly address a couple of points. First, we have a concern about height as well. I've done several projects with this applicant as well as with his design team. You are correct, Councillor. We're allowed to have a building up to 35 feet anywhere in the R1 district in Winnipeg. Our goal is to respect that. We've done a few projects like that so that we don't need variances for height. Our goal would be to design a structure that the site plans will come back to you, as well as the building plans, the elevations, to make it look as much as possible as a single-family dwelling that respects all the yards of side yards and height dimensional standards of a large single-family dwelling, which could be constructed there today without a public hearing of 4-foot side yards, front yard, rear yard, parking in the rear yard. Everything we're doing could reflect a single-family dwelling. The only difference is that it's going to have 7 suites on the inside instead of one large family. generally a size of lot like this is not being created anymore, except for maybe Elton Sage Creek or somewhere like that. You're going to find more affordable housing, whether it's baby boomers or millennials looking for a smaller unit, an affordable piece of land. That's why you're having lot splits, et cetera. In terms of traffic, et cetera, whether this is developed or not, that traffic is there on Leavenmore Avenue. This property is closer to St. Mary's. It's a public right-of-way. People are using the streets. We hope they'd abide by the rules and the traffic bylaws and adhere to traffic speeds. These folks here will ideally, what we're trying to encourage is that they hopefully would use a bus and alternative modes of transportation because it's so close to St. Mary's. To reduce the amount of traffic on our streets. That's ideally the direction Winnipeg's going in. And that helps by having infill and density and et cetera. When you have more people living on a street, the more affordable services such as transit become for a city to operate. Instead of running it way out to, eventually you're going to be running it out to West St. Paul or somewhere. If you have low density, you're just spreading your city out further and further. Those are those two things that we hope to address. Is we are concerned about height. We'll try to work with the community committee and the residents, come up with a building that's suitable and fits into the dimensional standards of R1 and traffic. And my client will address some issues regarding safety and security.
Hello. I guess up there I heard the residents here are concerned about the safety and security of the women's shelter next door, and I guess just the general community around it. As Mr. Kostic could know, our development team essentially did a rent-to-own building just down the street on St. Mary's last year. We plan to do a very similar development here at 11 Moore, where there'll be rent-to-own apartments. I think the fear might be that people are just going to move in, there'll be rentals, they're going to be trash, they're going to add to the problems if there are any in the area. That's not our intention. Our intention is to build family homes, essentially 2-3-bedroom condo-style apartments in this development that will be rent-to-own. So essentially these families would rent the property for 3 years, and then they would own it at the end of the 3 years. We have four families right now living in our fourplex that we developed at 866 St. Mary's last year. And as I mentioned, we're planning on doing the exact same development, just seven, not four, on this development here at 11 Moore. With respect to the status of the house right now, the residents mentioned that it's been lifted and changed and fixed and that. That is not the case. This property is actually not secure. It's actually, the foundation is broken, and the house is tilting to the west side. And also inside of it, it's not a great situation either. So I would invite the residents to come and take a look and see actually look and see what's happening at that land if necessary. But I think the more important point is that our intention, like I said, is to develop the land for families, 2- and 3-bedroom, a mix of 2- and 3-bedroom apartment style condos that will be rent to owned. And those families will be moving into the area. So I'm sure those families don't want people ripping up and down the street. They're not going to add to the traffic problems. As John alluded to, there's a quick way in and out on that alley. So it's not like they're going to be, ripping it down Dunkirk or down the alleyway anyway to get to Dunkirk or back to St. Mary's, And as we mentioned earlier, I think that the density is consistent with what's right there on St. Mary's and across the street on Moore. We're just looking to, again, add more family homes to the area. So that's really it for me. Thank you.
We're open to any questions.
So you're not living on site. We've got somebody, Lynn DeRosier, listed as owner. What's going on here with the ownership and the development?
I can elaborate a little bit. So just a quick story. So Lynn saw the development we were doing at 866 St. Mary's. She actually owned the catering business that was right behind that property at 11 Moore on St. Mary's. She saw what we were doing, and she actually wanted to do a very similar development on her land that she owned. In the end, she decided not to go ahead with the development, but she's essentially selling us the land to develop it. So she gave us authorization to make these applications. And should we go forward with this, obviously pending your guys' approval, she'll sell the property to us and we'll develop it. So just wanted to clear that up. Thanks.
Is anyone living on that site right now?
Yes, there are two tenants currently in there that Lynn is looking after.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Do you have to widen the lane? Is that?
Yes. Public Works, the north-south portion of the lane, Most lanes prior to, and Greg can correct me if I'm wrong, prior to 1978, were done at what would be considered substandard today. The city changed their regulations in the late 70s when Metric came in. So all lanes are now wider with a wider right-of-way and wider pavement. I believe we're just widening the right-of-way and not widening the actual gravel or pavement. And that's just to bring it up to today's standard that came in 1978, 79, 80. Okay. I believe this lane would have been laid down under the plan number 1984, I'm going to guess, probably in the 1920s. So that's pre-1980.
So you don't have to take the trees out or anything?
No. They'll just widen the lane, and it'll just, on the plan of subdivision, it'll be wider. We actually have to come back and make another application to do that and have a road opening and file new plans, and it'll... Mm-hmm. I don't think anything on the ground, you correct me if I'm wrong, is going to be anything different than just legally it'll show a wider strip of land.
And as John mentioned earlier too, said us being the developer, we're in favor of that. We're okay giving that land to the city to make that concession, but we'd like the 7 units, of course, right, because it helps mm-hmm. with the development.
Any further questions? Is there any, I mean, I'm just curious about why 7 units? Why, I mean, you could have fewer units with bigger floor area. What's the magic behind 7 units?
It comes back to parking, I think, because we were able to fit 7 spots at the back. If we could have fit 8, we would have tried for 8. You know, I think it's just trying to align things with a 1-to-1 parking ratio.
Okay.
Sorry, what's that?
And also, generally, when you have, you could have like 3 units or 1 big unit, but then the price to afford that reaches up into the market. The market right now can afford, especially when on a rent-to-own, only pay so much. When you have actually more units, you can then make the units more affordable. This is not affordable housing. We're not getting any funding grants, but if you have 3 units or 2 units or 1 big unit, the price to be able to get that and what the market can afford for that changes dramatically. So 7 works in terms of making the units affordable.
Nothing further, colleagues? Okay, thank you to the applicant.
Thank you.
Maybe I can hand the chair. Are you comfortable handling the chair while I make a motion?
Because yeah.
My one.
Okay. I'll be the chair then.
I'm actually going to follow the lead of Councillor Lukes on her item on this one. There are a couple of things that nag at me on this application that I want to think about for a bit and look into. We have some precedents not far away on Barrington, but not at this size, not at this scale, and I'm troubled by that. So I want to take a couple of weeks, so I will move to close the public hearings on all 3 items and to, am I adjourning, Madam Clerk, or am I laying over?
You would be adjourning the public hearing.
Okay, so we are closing the public representations then, and I'll move to adjourn the public hearing to our December 1st, 2014 meeting, at which time to make a decision. 5 o'clock to make a decision.
Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So that's for all 3 of the hearings.
Okay.
Okay.